it's not only Father's Day, it's this guy's birthday, right? Happy birthday, Joe. So we're gonna sing happy birthday to him real quick. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joe. Happy birthday to you and many more. Happy birthday, sir.
I love you, Andrew, and also hate you, Andrew. He already like woke us up with disco dance moves, and then he does, you know, something like that. But man, praise the Lord. Yeah, I guess I got a little reason to party today too. So anybody else's birthday today? Huh?
Yesterday.
Yeah, we got some more June. Awesome to see you, Bruce. Any other June birthdays? I know there's lots of them. Vicky Johnson had a birthday this, man, let's just, you guys partying? Are you having fun with it? So far, so good. I know last night for my birthday, this isn't in my script, sorry, Emma, but my wife, my kids, I had this Father's Day / birthday thing, brought in all kinds of Chicago food that I love. Man, I'll tell you, yeah, if you know, you know, right? So, and then I'm about to go to bed, and I remembered that I forgot to have a piece of the German chocolate cheesecake that my wife made for me, this out of nowhere. My German chocolate's like my favorite thing. And so that's what I had before bed. All right. So, yeah, if you're tracking, I didn't get to sleep real quick last night. So I wonder why my stomach was gurgling and why I couldn't fall asleep for like 2 hours. But it was an awesome, awesome night. Are y'all ready to start the party? I mean, I know we've talked about that a little bit here and there. We're in this new series, and I couldn't think of a better day to start this. Not because it's my birthday, which is awesome, but because it's Father's Day. We get to celebrate and throw some parties for our dads. And as Nick said, you know, whether your experience with your father was good or bad, we pay honor to our fathers and especially our Heavenly Father. It's no secret to any of us here, man, when we get together on Sunday morning, we are throwing a worship party for our Father in heaven, because he deserves it. So lots of things that are interacting there. It's just a really cool, a cool thing. I'm wearing this jersey today because, well, every now and then I'll pull it out, usually on Father's Day or when I'm going to Bear games, to honor my dad. He was a Bears fan. This was the year he was born, 1943, and just a way to kind of honor him. And if you're a Packers fan, I'm sorry, but you got just have to look past this and enjoy the message this morning. But my dad, if you, what's really crazy about my father is just kind of this whole theme, is that my dad, man, when he walked into the room, he knew how to start the party. He was just that guy. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe it's you, maybe it's not you. But this series isn't just about being extroverted and, you know, and kind of bringing the party wherever we go and things like that. It's about something much, much more important. And we'll get to that in a minute. But the main thing is that we know how to celebrate. Y'all know how to celebrate? Like really find joy and understand what God is doing. And this morning, one reason we can celebrate here in just a little while, we've got 65 fifth, sixth, and seventh graders and their leaders getting on a bus to go to Lake Aurora Christian Camp down in Lake Wales. Man, they're going to be, you guys are sitting here ready to go. I promise you, man, those kids are going to party next week, all right? And they're going to come back all exhausted and stuff, but they're going to know Jesus, and it's going to be awesome. Our family ministry is doing some amazing, amazing things, and we can celebrate that. In fact, right now in Expedition Kids, our kindergarten through fifth graders are going through this same series, Start the Party. They started it a few weeks ago. And they're celebrating the good news, the joy of choosing to celebrate what God is doing with them. So together as families, we can talk about this theme all month long. There's some really cool things happening. In a month from now, in July, some of you are involved in this. We're getting ready to have our kids camp for the week. Guess what the theme is? Yeah, start the party. That's one reason we chose this series, is so that we could be in sync with the kids. And the very first week that they're doing, it's the first week of kids camp, when they talk about starting the party and celebrating Jesus as the good news, they're going to be talking about the same passage of scripture, Luke chapter 5, that we are today. So parents, grandparents, you can talk to your kids about this kind of stuff. It's about celebrating. It's about starting the party that God has for us. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next 4 weeks, celebrating the good news of the gospel, the gospel. Now, y'all know what gospel means? Anybody? Yeah, say it out loud. Good news. Yes, the gospel literally means good news. And it could be like when you shout out the good news, like happy birthday or whatever. I mean, there's something really good's going on. But in this case, all throughout the scriptures, when we see this word good news, we're talking about not just the good news, but the greatest news. The greatest news that there ever, ever was. The best news ever. And his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the good news. And he came so that we could have life, he said, and have it to the full. That we would know the party of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus. And it's Jesus who came to bring, and he came to preach, and he came to live the good news, the gospel before our eyes. It's in him that God's kingdom has come. In fact, we just got done talking about this for a number of weeks through the Sermon on the Mount, that we are citizens of the kingdom because of the good news of Jesus. In Christ, we can celebrate. And I hope you know that today. It's the gospel. It's Jesus. It's the Son of the living God who came from heaven to earth in the flesh, born of a virgin to live a perfect life before our eyes, who lived and taught perfectly. And after 3 years, he died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. You think, that's good news that he died on a cross? Well, after 3 days, he rose from the grave. He came back to life to give us life in him today, tomorrow, and forever. That is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus, the Son of God. And now we get to live in that good news with the Holy Spirit inside of us, knowing the story. That is true, that God came from heaven to earth to live, die, and rise again for us. Y'all, that is good news. We can celebrate. Start the party. So in a world that feels dead on the outside, a world that just looks like it is lost, Jesus alone is the one who brings joy and life and salvation. He is the one who brings death to life. Death to life. Jesus himself says that I am the way, the truth, and the life of the party. That's our Jesus. So this might come as a surprise to you. When we talk about it being party time, man, this might be a surprise to you because maybe your idea of God is a little bit different than what the Bible actually shows us. But history shows us that God's all in on this party thing. Like, this is just who he is. And not as the world parties. And be careful to, you know, kind of whatever you're thinking about that. But God is all in on the parties that bring glory to him, that bring life and joy to his people. So we gather today, for example, as I said earlier, to throw a worship party for God. And there's something special that happens here in us, but most importantly, to God. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? We do it because God loves parties. We see this all through the Bible. The Old Testament shows us that that God's people are encouraged to throw these feasts and celebrations all through the scripture. In fact, he's giving his permission. He's giving the command for his glory to throw these feasts and these parties and to worship him with joy. I mentioned Expedition Kids earlier, but they started this series 2 weeks ago. And you know, last week they talked about the Feast of Booths in Deuteronomy. I don't know many kids' ministries that talk about the Feast of Booths in Deuteronomy, but this is what they were studying last week because God commanded us to eat and to drink and to rejoice together. Today, they're talking about Ezra. Ezra and how Ezra celebrated over God's work on the temple. God just does this. And this year, as adults, right here in this room, we studied Leviticus. You might remember this, a series called Burnt, and we talked about some of those feasts in Leviticus that God commanded us to follow. And just a couple months ago, as we were going through Ecclesiastes, we saw how God commands us to enjoy the life that he has given us, to fear the Lord and keep his commandments, but to also enjoy the days that we have here on earth. In Ecclesiastes. See, God seems to have all through the Bible given us this party theology. It's all through the scriptures. He just seems to have this thing. And here's the reason why, because God knows it's important for us and he enjoys when we remember things, when we commemorate things, when we celebrate him. Remembrance, commemoration, and celebration. And of course, all these things, all of history points to Jesus, the Messiah. See, when Jesus showed up, Jesus brought the party. Jesus brings the party that God had planned all along from the very beginning. Jesus brings the party, and here's why. Jesus brings the party because, as I said, he is the party. But also because we see this all through the New Testament as well, Jesus was invited to parties. He was invited to parties, and then he said, you come along to the party with me. And when Jesus shows up at the party, he brings joy, and he brings life, and he brings salvation with him. We see this from the very beginning in the Christmas story. You might remember when the angel shows up in Luke chapter 2, the angel says, fear not, for behold, I am bringing you what? Good news of great joy. It's like, oh, it's time to get depressed. God is coming to earth. No, that's not what the angel said. I'm bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. Jesus brought the party to earth. That's the Christmas story. And then in his own words, right from the beginning, Luke chapter 4, he says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That's the party that we're talking about today. When we say that word party, we're talking about the good news of the gospel, the party, the kingdom of God. And this, Jesus said, that is why I was sent. He brings the good news, joy, life, and salvation. He says in John chapter 10 that, yes, the thief, he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He wants to wipe out the party. But look what Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. A couple chapters later, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Sounds like a party's going on. Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells the stories of the kingdom using party analogies. He talks about a wedding feast. He talks about a great banquet. He talks about these parables. And then in Luke chapter 15, the next chapter, he gives three stories about something that was lost, something that was found. And when that something was found, there was a great celebration that happened. He talks about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. And in each case, he says that there is a party in heaven when someone who is lost repents and turns to God. Even the angels rejoice. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, Jesus points out that he, the Son of Man, this is Jesus' words, came eating and drinking. And as a result, people were saying, look at him. He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And then Jesus says, wisdom is justified by her deeds. Like, hey, yeah, I hang out with tax collectors and sinners, but look at how I'm living my life in front of them. Luke chapter 19, the true story of a man named Zacchaeus who climbs up in a sycamore tree so that he can seek Jesus. And guess what happens? Jesus ends up at Zacchaeus' house at a party being thrown in his honor. And Jesus himself says, salvation has come to your house this day because he had come to his house that day. Luke 19, and then Revelation 19. I hope you know this. At the end of our Bible, Luke 19, John the Revelator says, when Jesus returns, there is a celebration of worship and praise when he hosts the wedding feast of the Lamb. Jesus himself says, come, you are invited, and there's praise in all of heaven, and the angels rejoice for those who follow Jesus as king. We get to go to the party that is waiting for us in heaven. Man, you talk about amazing. Revelation 19. Jesus brings the party because he is the party, and he is invited to parties, and then he invites us to come along, and when he shows up, he brings joy, life, and salvation with him. Now, I don't know if this is news to you or how this is resonating with you, but as a teenager, man, this was news to me, all right, this whole thing, because I grew up thinking a little bit different about Jesus and about the church, and maybe you can relate to this, but now, first of all, you got to know, I grew up as a teenager in the 80s. Yeah, so in the 80s, it was about the party, all right? I don't know, maybe the generation you grew up in, I don't know, but man, it was all about the party culture. It was happening everywhere. So So, of course, the party movies, the heavy metal music, the mullets. And I was all in on that, man. That was my thing. Like, and anybody else, I don't know. But it's like that was where we are. So to me, at that time, Christians were boring. Like, they had no business. Like, they were judgmental, ignorant, and to be honest, nerdy. Like, I don't want nothing to do with them. Or they were all the above. And then I met some. And the Christians that I met, man, they loved Jesus. And they loved me. And they brought the party. I discovered that Christ followers, strangely, can also like movies and can also like music and even had mullets. They were smart. They went to concerts. They had campouts. They laughed a lot. And they had parties. They were different. They had joy. There was freedom. There was life. Because they had Jesus. And I started to register to me that if this was Jesus, then I wanted in. And I started to hang out with them. And I went to church. I started going to their concerts. I started checking out their music like Petra and Resurrection Band and, you know, and others. And I found out they were pretty good. And I hung out at their houses. And guess what? They hung out at my house too. And they listened to my music and they rode around in my car. They met me right where I was. They became my friends. And along the way, they invited me to the party. They invited me to the gospel. They lived it out in front of me. They invited me to Jesus, just like Jesus did when he was on earth. In John chapter 2, Jesus begins his ministry kind of not even on purpose, but he's invited to a wedding party. And he does his first miracle there at this wedding. It was a week-long celebration where he does this miracle where the wine had run out. Now, in the Jewish culture, when the wine runs out, the joy runs out, okay? This was important to know. And at the request of his mother, Jesus changes over 120 gallons of water into the best wine to be served at that party that day. And he saved the day. When Jesus showed up, he brought joy and life and salvation to that party. And you don't miss the fact that he was invited to that party. Everyone's saying, oh, we can't have the religious dude here. Like, no, the rabbi doesn't show up. No, Jesus was invited here. And verse 11 says, Jesus manifested his glory and the disciples believed in him. And I love that story because that's the Jesus that we're supposed to follow, to believe in, to show to the world. Now, unfortunately, that's not the case all the time. We don't always follow that Jesus. In fact, if we're not careful, we will create another version of Jesus that leads the world to think badly or wrongly about Christ and about Christians, because frankly, we're not like that Jesus at all. We're the party poopers. Watch out. We tend to be so serious, legalistic, easily offended, and we fail to live in the joy of his salvation. We need to be aware of that because we don't have to. We don't have to. This is a choice we can make. Like Jesus, we can bring the party. And that's what this next story is all about. It's in Luke chapter 5, and I kind of want to focus on this for a few minutes. Luke chapter 5, you can find it right there if you want. You can follow along. It'll be on the screen too. But this story takes place just a little bit later in Jesus' ministry. It's still at the beginning, but by now he's doing all kinds of miracles, all right? At this point, he's recruited some of his 12 disciples to follow him in Luke chapter 5, and he's about to bring the party to a man named Levi. Now, Levi, we also know him as Matthew. So this is the story of Matthew, and here's how the story begins. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, and this is also found in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke as well, but Matthew, his own book, and Luke and John, or I'm sorry, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is Luke's story, all right? Luke 5:27. So here's what's going on. Jesus has just healed a paralyzed man and forgiven his sins, which is already getting the religious leaders kind of fired up. So after he heals this paralyzed man and forgives his sins, he, Jesus, went out and he saw, remember that word, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. He saw this man who was often overlooked, all right, despised by Jews because he was a traitor to them. He was working for the Roman government. He was collecting taxes. A lot of times tax collectors were known for cheating and for being dishonest. Matthew had no place with the religious leaders. He was, in fact, all the Jews looked down on tax collectors. He wasn't allowed in the temple. And this was what a tax collector was. And Jesus saw him. Now, I don't know if you watch the series, the TV series called The Chosen or not, but I think they do a really good job of depicting the story of Matthew. Just kind of a side note there. They capture this story really well. And verse 28 says, he, Jesus, says to Matthew, he talks to him, he says, follow me. And leaving everything, Levi rose up and he followed Jesus. And this is a big deal because it was an honor for anyone to be called by a rabbi. Okay, especially a rabbi who had been healing and teaching like Jesus was. To even be noticed by Jesus was a big deal. And I gotta believe that's true, but Jesus, man, really, like, we get it, you're the son, but a tax collector, like, you're gonna ask a tax collector of all people to follow you. Yes. And in that moment, Levi met Jesus. But something even bigger was going on here. Jesus met Levi. He saw him, he called him, and as a result, Levi, Matthew, went with Jesus and became his disciple. And then something about Jesus prompted Levi in that moment to plan and to spend a lot of money and to create a party and invite Jesus to come. We're talking about a big party. Look at verse 29. Levi made for him a great feast in his house. His house. So now Jesus is going to go to this tax collector's house. And there was a large company of tax collectors there and others. Not only is he going to Matthew's house, but there's going to be a whole lot of other these sinners, these tax collectors, these guys there. And they're going to be reclining at the table. Reclining at the table with them. It's important to note this because that's how they ate back then. Like when you show up at somebody's house, you weren't just popping in and grabbing. You're like, recline, take it easy. We're gonna talk. We're gonna get to know each other. They called that table fellowship. And Jesus was declaring a relationship with these tax collectors just by going into his house and having this meal with them. Fellowship, shared food, conversation. It seems like wherever Jesus goes, a party breaks out. And some people had a problem with this. The party poopers. Yeah, they show up. The Pharisees, the scribes, the religious people. And they grumble at his disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Like, why are you hanging out with those people? There's a lot going on here. There's a lot behind the scenes. We're not going to get into a lot of this, but Jesus, he already wasn't in good favor with these religious leaders anyways, and now he's breaking tradition. In fact, the rest of Luke 5 talks about how breaking this tradition was important to him. It talks about wineskins and things like that. You can read that. It's pretty cool. But he's breaking traditions. He's eating with undesirables. He's hanging out with the wrong people, and it's the religious people who have a problem with this. They were the ones being the party poopers. They're the ones grumbling. They're the ones questioning. They're the ones labeling. And it's funny to me that they don't go to Jesus. They're questioning his disciples. But guess who hears? Jesus hears them. He knows what's going on. In verse 31, Jesus answers them. Like, we aren't talking to you, Jesus, but here he is, all right? Verse 31, those who are well, this is what Jesus says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I love how Jesus shifts the whole conversation from the party and from the people to the purpose of him being there in the first place. Jesus brings the party and he has a reason for it. Don't miss this. Jesus came. It's the good news. Jesus came to call those of us with sickness. And that sickness is sin. And that is all of us, by the way. He's called sinners to repentance, to new life in him. So there he is. And y'all, here he is. Right here today, in this place, at this party, in this room, to present an invitation to every one of us to repentance. He is in Matthew the sinner's house with Matthew the sinner's friends, inviting them, connecting with them, bringing life and love and joy and salvation to the party. That's what it means to start the party. So if you're tracking with the story, Jesus has called someone to be his disciples. That someone was Matthew. All right, he calls Matthew to be his disciple. He's invited to literally follow Jesus. And then Levi accepts that invitation. He says yes, and he begins to follow Jesus. And then Levi throws a party, inviting Jesus, the bringer of joy and life and salvation. He invites Jesus, and then he invites others to the party so that they can meet Jesus themselves. Pretty simple formula. Powerful. Incredible. So look, if you're not a Christ follower this morning, whether you're watching online or whether you're here in this room, if you're not a Christ follower, I want to personally thank you for being a part of our party today, right here in this place. Thank you for being here. This is our party, and you are invited to meet Jesus here. I want you to know God loves you. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. That's the gospel. He is calling you to believe in Jesus. He is calling you, just like he called Matthew, to come and to follow him. He is calling you to repentance. He's calling you to turn from your old life and to follow him. He's calling you to confess him as Lord and King and Savior of your life. He's calling for you to not just confess him, but to repent of your old life and to turn to him and to walk with him, to be baptized into the name of Jesus and to receive the gift, the forgiveness of your sins. And to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the gospel, and he is inviting you to the party. Jesus wants to lead your life from here on out, today, tomorrow, and forever into eternity. In John chapter 5, he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." He doesn't come to bring judgment. He's come to bring you from death to life. That's the good news. And y'all, the Bible promises that if you follow Jesus on earth, you will follow him into heaven for eternity, forever. And that, my friends, is where the party really starts. And you are invited. You're invited to the party. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are or where you came from, man. You might think you're a tax collector. You're a sinner. You're just like Matthew. Look, no problem. You are invited. You are welcome here, and you're invited to the party. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you are invited to the party. You're welcome here. Whether you're a Republican or Democrat or somewhere in between, look, you're invited to the party. You're welcome here. No matter what church you came from or whether you've never gone to church before, you are invited. No matter your skin color or what language you speak or what crimes you've committed, you are invited to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus. You're invited to the party. Doesn't matter what you do for a living or you don't do for a living, you're invited. You are invited to come. And you can bring your party movies and your heavy metal music and your mullets right along with you. You are welcome here. You're invited to the party. And Christ follower, my party people, look, we know the gospel. We've responded to the gospel. You are invited to bring the party, all right? We need to be a part of welcoming every single person that doesn't know Jesus into Jesus, all right? This is our job, to bring the party, and it happens in all circumstances. And I know life gets hard sometimes. We know that following Jesus doesn't guarantee fun and pin the tail on the donkey, you know, party games and all that. I mean, it's not always fun and games. What following Jesus does guarantee is Jesus in every single circumstance. And I promise you, Jesus will bring the party because he is the party to whatever life might throw at you. And I just want to encourage you this morning to leave the grumbling to the Pharisees, to leave the judgment and the label making to the religious party poopers, because that is not why we're here. And instead, wherever we go, bring Jesus with us. Wherever we are, bring the party. Whether you're going to the grocery store or to the gym or to school or to work, bring the party. Bring the gospel to your marriage. You want to see your family change? Bring the gospel. Live for Christ. Bring the party to the hospital, to the rehab center, to the chemo treatments. You know, it's Father's Day, and I'm gonna swallow real hard here because I've got to say this out loud. This is important to me. But it's Father's Day. I just want to give a shout out to my father-in-law, Ernest Dunham. Lisa's dad is 82 years old. He's a Vietnam veteran. 26 years in the Marine Corps. You think if there's anybody that's hard on the outside, it's a Marine of 26 years. But I want to tell you something, that's not Dad. He's got a blood disease, leukemia. He takes treatments, and life's not always easy for him. But that guy, he brings the party, man. Last night, he was over at our house and just bringing encouragement and cheer and smiles to everyone in the house. When he goes to the chemo treatment, he walks in the door and he brings the party. He wants everybody there to be encouraged. He spends weeks working on masterpieces. He's an artist and he paints these paintings, legit like artwork. And he gives them away for free to those healthcare workers at the chemo center. He brings the party with him. He doesn't have to do that. And you may think, well, he's wired that way. That's just the way he is. No, that is a choice that he is making with his life. And it is so important. Man, I want to be that person. Don't you? I do. And I say happy Father's Day to him, but that's some of you as well. I mean, I visit the hospital. I see that the nurses and the healthcare staff, they're disappointing. They're disappointed when you leave because you brought the party. You prayed for them. You shared the gospel with them. That's like, oh man, we're going to miss you. I can't help but think about Mr. Encouragement himself. Man, if you've been around CCW around a very long time, you know PJ the DJ. I don't know if PJ's here this morning or if he comes to second service, but PJ, man, I love you, man. You walk in the door, you bring the party with you. Man, he is like a walking Jesus party, that guy, all right? He'd probably be up here at the end of service giving out hugs. If you know PJ, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just looking around. Y'all lift your hands and you sing and you praise the Lord, no matter what you're going through, because you know Jesus is the party. Sherry, thank you. You know, Wednesday night, we were just talking about the way that you sit here on the front row, and I know you have your struggles, you got your stuff you're going through, but every single Sunday, you bring the party. You worship Jesus right here with us. Loretta, you can barely see. And I know at your age, it's not easy to get up in the morning, get out of bed and make it to CCW, but you know what? You are such a blessing to me and to all of us. And you bring the party, you do. You don't get up and sing and dance like Sherry does, but I could probably walk through these aisles and give a hug to each and every one of you and thank you for bringing the party here. Because that's what we do, because we know Jesus. We know the gospel, we have the good news. I want to be that church. I want to be that person. So for God's sake, please bring the party to worship. Leave your grumbling and your labeling and your finger pointing at the door. And beware, okay? Just beware of holding on so tightly to your tradition that you miss the party. Don't do that. This is a time to look around and to be thankful and to celebrate what God is doing. Because here we are. I mean, look around this room, young and old, all different kinds of backgrounds, all different kinds of situations in life, celebrating Jesus together. Bring the party. Praise the Lord. And if you have someone or something to celebrate, don't just bring the party. I want to encourage you to throw a party. Throw a party. Maybe you're thinking of somebody in your life that's worth celebrating, maybe one-on-one or maybe a group of people. Man, I think about our first responders, our teachers. I think about some of the people that I live life around. Man, this is a time to throw a party. Don't miss the opportunity. Like Levi, Matthew, the tax collector, he brings the hope of Jesus to all people by creating time and creating space for Jesus to show up, to connect and to influence others. Throw a party, a block party, throw a dinner, throw a little birthday party, man. Maybe just you one-on-one, invite somebody to lunch and just make it about them. Ask questions, listen, give them gifts, whatever it might do. And when you invite them to the party, invite Jesus. Let them know, man, he is the reason for the party to begin with. Invite your friends. Preacher Kyle Eidelman says it this way: throwing a party might be the most spiritual thing a Christian can do. Throwing a party might be one of the most spiritual things a Christ follower can do. So what happens if you were to throw a party for somebody? A party with purpose, like Jesus. A party that celebrates the good news, the gospel. A party that brings the hope of Jesus to all people. What would that party look like? Start the party. So quick review. We've seen just here in the last few minutes that the Bible, from beginning to end, there seems to be this clear and consistent party theology. Jesus himself comes to bring good news, joy, life, and salvation to the world. In fact, Jesus compares God's kingdom to a party. And he taught that when someone turns to God, a party breaks out in heaven, Luke 15. And even though Jesus had a big job to do in just a short amount of time to change the world, he accepted an invitation to a week-long celebration, a wedding party in John chapter 2, and changed the entire culture. And Jesus continues to accept invitations all throughout his ministry, making time to connect, to have fun with people, to eat with them, to drink with them, to love them. Even other people that were rejected by the religious community. In Luke chapter 5, like Matthew. So here's your challenge. These are in your sermon notes, by the way. You're welcome to open these things up and take a look. Mine are on the floor there, but on the back of your sermon notes are just some questions and opportunities for you. I want you to pray about how you can bring the party and throw a party. You can talk to your neighbors here before you leave today. Go home, pray to God, ask him, hey, God, how would you have me to do this? Bring the party, throw a party. Talk it over with your friends, your family, your small group. Brainstorm together. Pray about this and bring the party. Like it's summertime. Like we got time. You guys have swimming pools. You got friends. You got places, houses. You got places you're going to go to work tomorrow. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do this. What would it mean for you to bring the hope of Jesus to all people? To bring the gospel when you attend the places and the parties that you go to. As you're walking through life, how can you bring the party? Write those things down and then do it. Make the choice to bring the party. Another challenge is to throw the party. And I just want to encourage you to do that. And again, I don't think there's any better time of a year to do this than during the summertime. How would you throw a party for somebody else? Maybe thinking right now, maybe there's a group of people or a certain person in your life that you know deserves a party. You just have to throw it. Who would it be for? What would you do? And how would you bring the hope of Jesus to all people at your party? Let's do it. Let's be that church. Let's be those Christ followers that lifts up the gospel and says, come along. I've got good news. And the good news is Jesus. Start the party. Prayerfully consider these ideas. Think about them. Take this seriously. make them a reality this summer. And if you need help with ideas, you can go to Sermon Pop. You can, you know, talk about it. You know, we'll help you. Make a phone call to the church. If we can help resource or assist you in these parties, let us know. We spend a lot of money on things. We'd be glad to help you throw a party for your neighbors. Think about how God can make this happen through you. And today, if you're here and you're not a Christ follower, I want to go back just a step, and I want to personally invite you to join the party, to let Jesus start that party in your life, in your soul, and get walking with him starting today. Our prayer team will be up front. Some of our leaders and pastors will be up here, and that baptistry is ready for you to declare and to walk with Jesus as a new person in him. And you can make that decision today. Start the party. You know, one reason we're here this morning, as I've mentioned a couple times, is to worship, man. We are here to throw a party for God. All right, we got one more song to sing. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. I'm ready to stand in my seat. I'm ready to worship God. I'm ready to throw a party in his honor with just a few words as we lift our hands and lift our voices to him and give him thanks and give him glory and give him honor for what he's done for us. Are you guys ready to celebrate the good news? All right, I hope so. We got this song called Glorious Day. So I'm going to ask you, if you can, to go ahead and stand with me. And if you've got a decision to make, you can come forward. Heavenly Father, we love you. But we thank you for loving us first. That's the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, from coming to heaven to earth to rescue us. Yes, you've called us to repentance, but we do this with a smile on our face because we know that you love us and you know what's best for us. And we count it a joy to walk with you through life. So thank you for the good news. Thank you for the party. And God, today as we start the party, it begins right here, right now, as we lift our voices to you because you bring death to life. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.